T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
Hour number two here on a Tuesday. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. One Bills Live is the show as we contemplate whether or not the Bills are going to get healthy enough to put together a top-notch performance against the Baltimore Ravens, who are dealing with some injuries of their own. Not for nothing. Not to the extent that the Bills are, but they are beat up in some key positions. Left tackle, most notably, with Ronnie Stanley still not ready last week to return from injury. We'll see where it sits this week when the injury reports come out on Wednesday. But in that vein, we are asking you today, which player do the Bills need back in the lineup the most on Sunday against the Ravens? First two callers out of the chute have both said, get us as many defensive tackles as we can. They believe, and I would tend to agree with them, that the strength of this team is their defensive front. At least that's what it showed through the first 2 weeks of the season. Then injuries struck, and things changed dramatically on the defensive interior. Ed Oliver listed as day-to-day. The hope is he is back and ready to play on Sunday, but we'll have to see how he makes his way through the week. Jordan Phillips might be a little bit further away with that hamstring injury, but we'll know for sure when the Wednesday injury report comes out what the status looks like for everybody on Buffalo's injury list, which remains lengthy heading into week four. We go to the phones, though, at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. There are a couple open lines for you there if you want to chime in yourself. But we lead off the second hour with Judy in Buffalo. What do you got for us, Judy? You're on One Bills Live.
I have two questions and two comments. First of all, I thought the Bills could go 5-2 in the first 7 games. Now I'll be happy with 4-3. Next, will Isaiah Hodgins be activated for the game? Third, to win the game, we must control Mark Andrews the way we did in the playoff game. And fourth, the Bills' strategy, I think, on a wet field must be with slot receivers, tight end, and maybe runners out of the backfield catching the ball. I wait for your comments.
All right, thanks, Judy. Good stuff. And thanks for the call. And I will say this. I don't think Isaiah Hodgins gets called up this week. The reason why is Khalil Shakir has been inactive when they've decided to go with just 5 receivers this season. Assuming Jake Kumerow is down and he's got a week-to-week injury with a high ankle sprain, I would expect Khalil Shakir to be his replacement among the receiver rotation.
Right.
So I would expect him to be up, which to me would not prompt the need for a call-up for Isaiah Hodgins. I like your thoughts about the approach for Sunday's game. I will remind everybody, when the Baltimore Stadium first opened, it was natural grass, but in 2002, it was a long time ago, they changed over to turf, and it's been turf there ever since because they get a lot of wet weather there on the Eastern Seaboard, and late in the season they were having major issues with the field surface. So that's the good news, because the turf drains a lot better than the grass does, and you'd have a mud pit if you got even a tropical depression blowing through there from Hurricane Ian. by the weekend. Steve, your assessment on her people that you can't, that you'd like to have back in the lineup?
Yeah, well, first of all, stopping Mark Andrews, I don't know at this point that that team is the same as it was 2 years ago when they stopped Mark Andrews in the playoffs. Certainly it was a big factor, but Lamar is a different player than he was 2 years ago. The players I'm more worried about on the outside are Duvernay and
Bateman.
They've got some guys out there that can play.
And they can run, too.
And they can run, and their running game is still a factor. But, yeah, Mark Andrews is a good player. But and I'll say this. I think against, not Miami, but New England last week, they suited up four tight ends. I think Isaiah Likely and Josh Oliver were all active with Mark Andrews and Nick Boyle. Nick Boyle was active.
But Isaiah Likely is an intriguing player, Steve, and Mark Andrews is just a big target. He runs well, but he's more of a build-up speed guy like a Gronk. He doesn't run like Kelsey does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Isaiah Likely he's kind of an undersized tight end in terms of height. Comes out of Coastal Carolina, very productive in the receiving game. He's kind of like a tight receiver. He's right. Not Mike Gesicki. I think he can block better than that guy. But he runs routes really well, and Lamar has established some good early chemistry with him. We forgot to ask Evan Washburn about Likely. So, yeah, he's a weapon for them, even though he hasn't been used extensively.
Yeah, so and then the other thing you mentioned about slot wide receiver, if it does get muddy or wet or whatever, are they going to use the slot guys, the tight ends, and the running backs? Now, the running backs did become a factor this last week as the wide receiver started to drop off the page because of the heat exhaustion.
At 15 catches.
Yeah, which is unusual, and we all know that. The Bills running backs don't usually catch that many passes, but certainly with the game that Devin Singletary had, that changed a lot. Devin had nine receptions for 78 yards and a touchdown.
Those are both career highs.
And he had 11 targets, so they gave him a lot of chances at that. And the other one was...
He was a safety valve for the blitz.
James Cook had four catches.
Yeah, for 30. I'd like to see a little more of him.
Yeah, so that's a good call there, Judy, on the guy, the alternate receivers who may become a bigger part of it under adverse conditions. And that includes the tight ends as well. So certainly we haven't seen as much as we thought we might have Dawson Knox. But that doesn't mean that they haven't been playing pretty good without targeting him. So we'll see.
Yeah. We've had two calls already about defensive line. Can I just throw Mitch Morse a bone here? Yeah. Really like to get the starting center back in there. In light of the bobbled snaps that they had last week, I realize they were few and far between, but they came at critical moments of the game, cost the team points, and nothing against Greg Van Roten or Greg Mance. I mean, both of those guys stepped in difficult situation, did the best they could, and I thought they performed pretty admirably, all things considered. But your center is a huge part of the whole deal there. I mean,
yeah. The confidence they had in running the plays, getting the protections right, getting every snap. There's no doubt. I mean, in hindsight, it's easy because we were all wondering why they kept going in shotgun in certain formation, in certain down and distances, short yardage most notably in goal line. They never put Josh under center because they couldn't get it done. I mean, it looks easy because you see guys do it like the Bills. If they were under center the whole game, you see it 90 times a game. You see it 50 times a game. And back in the day, we all grew up watching guys do it all the time. But now, you understand how difficult it is to come in and get it done. We heard Eric Wood yesterday come on and say, listen, you got a guy 3 inches from your head. And what they do is, and Kent Hall told me this, and I heard him tell young centers this, when you snap the ball, everything happens so fast, you're the only guy on the line that's got one arm because the other one's back up between your legs giving the ball to the quarterback. And then, so the guy's jumping your shoulder while your arm's down, you know. It's hard to execute a block like that. And when you start thinking about that, then you forget that the first thing you got to do is get the ball to the quarterback. All that stuff is – and you got to do it lightning fast, which means you're doing it at high velocity with high intensity, and the ball snaps up into the quarterback's hands like it's coming out of a cannon.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff is rife with risk. It's not so hard when you just kind of half throw it back there, waist high to the quarterback, and your arm's right, you know, halfway up already. So that's why Mitch Morse was missed in that game on Sunday, not only because of his ability to execute it, but the freedom it gave him to go under center at crucial moments. So you're right. And you can say, well, they're pros. Listen, you can say that all you want to, but it's 90,000 degrees on the field, and these guys are hobbled together. You got to talk about protect. You got, there's a lot on their plate.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need.
Mitch makes a difference.
It makes a difference.
Yeah.
Makes a difference.
Let's get back to the phones and see what you have to say. Which player do the Bills need back in the lineup the most Sunday against the Ravens of the guys on the injury list? We go to Gary in Lancaster next. What do you got for us, Gary? Whoops, hold on. Let me get you.
How you doing, buddy?
There you go.
Anyway, Ed Oliver, originally I would select. You said Morris. I agree with that now. I hear about it. I go, holy cow, yeah. Right. But Ed Oliver will change the front line. And one thing we can do is stop Lamar from doing what he does. Well, we can't stop him. We'll kill him now.
Yeah.
And from doing what he does. And then we'll have a chance to do what we do. Their defense is not good. So if we can limit them, and that's a big thing, limit Lamar to, like, whatever I can do, not 40-yard gains, then we can do what we do. And Oliver just blows stuff up. And when he's next to all the people we have in our line, he can make a difference.
Yeah.
So I think Oliver's a big guy. And you mentioned Morris, and I said, and when you said that, I said, oh, my God, yeah, we need a center. Because that is the rock of what Josh does. He
right.
snaps it and he goes. And when he snaps and goes in confidence, teams are in trouble. So,
yeah.
But I'm sure they're taking, you know what, every backup center in the world taking 10,000 snaps. So they'll be fine. But the last game was an aberration. It was an impressive heat. It was supposed to, every single thing that went wrong was what could go wrong. They
right.
missed special teams. They missed interceptions. They missed opportunities. They were fourth down. They blew field goals. And we still almost won it. So if we don't blow 20 different things, this team will battle you to the end, and Ed Oliver will blow up Lamar. That's a big deal.
All right, Gary, thanks for the call.
That's
we appreciate it. I mean, there is this to be said. The Bills, as we know, when they're playing a guy like Lamar, are going to have to be very disciplined in their rush lanes. You can't carry the pass rush arc too far up the field because Lamar just steps up underneath that and then escapes out to the right or the left. So they're going to have to keep a tight pocket. But Ed, with his penetration ability, could prevent Lamar from even stepping up if he can get the right kind of penetration directly up the middle. So we'll see how they work that with stunts and twists and whether they just do a straight four-man rush and keep it tight in terms of the splits. But, yeah, I mean, if you can get penetration up the middle, you just have to be careful that you're not leaving him a lane to loop around the outside and get away. I mean, it's a guy with 4.3 speed, as the Dolphins found out in week two when he rumbled for a 79-yard touchdown.
Right.
Nobody was near him. I don't think anybody touched him.
You got to be ready to defend a guy that's as nifty and as elusive in the pocket as Josh Allen is. I mean, the guy can take off and run and beat you. That's what Josh does. That's why he's such a backbreaker for defenses the Bills play. Lamar is the same kind of guy. You can make comparisons all you want where Josh may be a better thrower or passer from the pocket than Lamar is, but Lamar is better in the field running the football than Josh is.
Well, yeah, because
as good as Josh is.
Because he can take it 80 yards. That's
yeah.
why.
And that's – so these two guys are both unicorns, and they are a little different. They're each unique, but it's going to be up to the others, finger quotes, you know, the Von Millers of the world and to make a difference in this game, that the Ed Olivers, the – you know, Stephon Diggs, the Dawson Knox is the world, the Gabe Davis is the world, and then for and even for the Ravens, their guys. It's got to be guys like Ronnie Staley, the left tackle. Is he going to play? Like Rashad Bateman and Devin Duvernay. There's going to be these other guys. It's who can help their quarterback win the most. I like Ed Oliver. I like Jordan Phillips as the answer to this, but Mitch Morse makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
You'd love your offense to be hitting on all cylinders this week.
Let's go to Mark in Lancaster next. What do you got for us, Mark?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, Chris, you hit the nail right on the head. Without a doubt, it's Mitch Morse. We saw what happened with snaps under center, how they were bobbled, and even out of the shotgun where the snaps are kind of at his ankles. You know, we have a $200 million man back there, and every second counts. And if he's looking down, you know, he's got to be able to feel comfortable with the snap, whether it's under center or in the shotgun. Also, if I'm not mistaken, he's the guy that's making all the line calls.
Yep.
Plus,
right.
If you look on plays that are outside sweeps or counters, who's usually leading the way? Number 60. You know, he's very athletic. And if things are starting to head south, you got that comfort zone with a veteran that can keep the huddle under control, keep Josh in check. I think he, without a doubt, is the key to our offense and making it tick and making things real comfortable. I really appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, sounds good, Mark. Thanks for it. Yeah, I know that when Morse is in there, not to say that Van Roten and Mans can't make protection calls, but to me, the sense I get is that Josh leaves it in Mitch's hands because of that trust factor that he's established with him, playing with him for the last 3 years. So I think there is less on Josh's plate when Mitch is in the game, if that makes sense.
Right. And I'll say this. Sean made a point to praise the work Van Roten did and Mans did while they were in there because, you know, they were shorthanded and those guys stepped up and played well. And Van Roten went a long time after it looked like he was going to come out. Like he bounced back, came back after a tough injury, then got whacked again and had to stop finally. So he battled through some things on the way to getting last man in the game. And so Tommy Doyle, the same thing. So there was a ton of guys that, and not the least of which was Van Roten and Mance, who Sean McDermott really had some high praise for after that game. So, yeah, it's appreciated, no question. But, you know, it starts where the ball is, and that's Mitch Morse.
Let's go to Bob in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Cheek to Waga next. What do you got for us, Bob? You're on One Bills Live.
Hi, guys. I think Poyer will make such a big difference if we could get him back. Just his leadership. And I don't know why, but I'm thinking that play where Watto got behind him, guys. I know how fast he is. It's just Poyer's always seems to be in the right spot. I think they miss his leadership back there in the huddle and everything. And I'm just excited. If we could get Poyer back, I'd feel a lot more comfortable.
Yeah, no, that's a worthy candidate for sure, Bob, and thanks for the call. You know, with a tight end who is their number one target in Mark Andrews and has been for the better part of the last year plus, be nice to have Poyer out there knowing he can draw some of those coverage assignments on Andrews. I mean, he's a big dude. You're probably going to have mixing and matching with him and
sure.
Milano and maybe some others. But, yeah, you'd love to have Poyer out there with Johnson. You know you're not going to have Hyde the rest of the year. I feel good about Jaquan Johnson out there as the second safety. If Jordan Poyer is your primary guy, I feel even better because now you can have Jaquan, who's a little bit smaller in stature than Jordan, kind of play center field, look at the whole thing, you know, from back there while Jordan is wreaking havoc up closer to the line of scrimmage. I think that's the best fit of the safeties they have left without Micah. So, yeah, you get him back and things dramatically improve on the back end as I see it.
Yeah, as long as you can get lined up and have your assignments straight, you can depend on your athleticism to carry you through. And last week, they, you know, Tua did a nice job looking left toward Tyreek and then coming back late and lofting it up to Waddle, and it made it too far to get back and help. And that's why, you know, he was a tenth of a second late getting there, and the pass was completed to set up that touchdown for him, so, or the go-ahead touchdown. So, you know, that in and of itself was kind of what you lends credence to. You got to get them lined up right.
Yeah.
And that's what Poyer does so well.
Let's go to the phones again, and we go to Rich in Amherst next. What do you got for us, Rich? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, last couple guys hit it on the head. I was going to say Morse as well for your question of the day. I mean, this team can run anybody in a track meet, I think, if the offense is in rhythm. And I think, you know, the defensive injuries, yeah, they hurt, but if you got the offense clicking, I'm not worried. Even if the other team's hanging 28, I think we can still put up 35 when everything's in order. So I think Morse is the most critical of them all. And I wanted to talk about something you guys talked about a little bit yesterday, but the league rule where the Dolphins, if they don't use their air conditioning, heated or cooled benches, whatever, we can't. I think that is the most ridiculous thing in today's day and age. I understand the fairness aspect if you're talking about the quarterback's helmet to the sidelines not working, then the other team can't use it, or the headset's not working, or the tablets. That's all fine. I get that. That's a fairness thing. But when we're talking about heat or even cold in the winter, if it was reversed in Buffalo, I mean, some of your callers may not remember, but you don't want another Corey Stringer on your hands in a game day situation because they have heat stroke. Like, that's just ridiculous to me that that's even a rule in place. I'll hang up and listen to you.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the specific rule, because I think, too, I've seen it where teams can request it and it'd be given to them. But I'm not sure that that's the case. Like, if you're coming in and they're not going to use it, but you want it, you can request it. I'm not sure if that's the case. And there's a couple of things I wanted to check about in this game, because a couple of things came up. Like fumbling the ball out of bounds deliberately inside the 2-minute warning, how that works with the clock stoppage and whether it helps your team at the end of the game. Don't know if it's possible or legal or if it helps you or not, but I know it's been done in decades past, but I think the rule has been evolved since then. So there's a lot of things I want to get to the bottom of, but I think that you're never going to be able to make it. That sideline thing is a big difference in Miami, and I think that's the most pronounced difference I've seen in any game in my experience, of one side being in the shade like theirs was and one side being in the heat and having it affect the game as much as it did, and the rosters and the players. Never seen anything like that. You know, you can say they should change the rule and all that, but it doesn't happen that often. Of course, in this case, the Bills were the victim of it. As you might expect, a division opponent would be more likely. But I've never seen a game have that much disparity in the conditions on the sideline.
Yeah.
And it was even bad. Like I said earlier, a couple of Dolphin guys fell out as well.
Yep.
And they were in the shade. But the Bills, I mean, it was like every single guy was suffering from it.
We have to take a break here. But more of your phone calls on the way next, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, the number to get on board. Which Bills player on the injury list do you think is most important to have back in the lineup on Sunday against the Ravens? You let us know when we return. Here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio. The Buffalo Bills and AdPro Sports are teaming up to award varsity head football coaches with the Coach of the Week Award. Week 4 winners in the Buffalo region, Section 6. It's Williamsville East's Mike Tirillo, who takes home the award after he led the Flames to a 35-28 win over Sweet Home in Section 5, Rochester region. Coach of the Week is Alexander's Tim Sawyer, after he led the Trojans to a 50-0 win over South Seneca to improve to 3-0 on the season. Each Coach of the Week winner will receive a $1,000 grant from the Bills and Ad Pro Sports. Congrats to those coaches at the high school level. We are talking with you about the Bills injury list. And come Sunday against the Ravens, which player on that injury list do you think is most important to have back in the lineup for this matchup with Baltimore? We go back to the phones, and leading us off in this segment is Marie in Amherst. What do you have for us, Marie?
Hey, guys. So I figure we're three games in. There's no need to panic. We don't need to bring anyone back right now from injury. Just let the guys rest up, move a few pieces around, bring back a familiar player with the system. I'm figuring we can move Tavon Austin up, let Gabe Davis get a rest, move Tavon up, let him be on special team, to return punts or kickoff, move Cyren Neal up to cornerback because we do need some experience back there. We don't have much money to be going out getting other people, bringing them in. And then we need to bring back someone familiar with the system, like Elijah Griffin for special teams. Just special teams, not to go out there and be covering for corner. Special teams, I think he's really good. He's familiar. He's solid. He's a good tackler. He's got speed. And he's cheap. Like, not to say he's cheap, but, that's something we can do. We don't need to – let's not rush anything. It's Baltimore. We need to put up points. We just need to keep scoring and get our offense back in the groove. So that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, Marie.
Yeah, and Marie, it's a solid point. I don't know about the names you mentioned or the moves, but they're going to make do with what they've got anyway. And you're right. It's up to the, to GM and head coach to move the roster around. If they do need to bring in help from the outside, and I don't even think that they do. I don't think they need to go out on the street and bring guys back that they've released or whatever. Certainly, they brought in Rhodes today as a veteran corner, so maybe they're getting some feedback as to that they're going to need. Even if they do advance Cyren Neal to corner and all that, they still need somebody at that position to come in and be a backup.
They're low on numbers.
They need a backup for Cyren. So you're right. They're going to make do with what they've got because they trust those guys, and it's not that easy to come in and just – you can't – it's not hockey or something like that. You can't plug a guy in. There's an entirely new language that the guy has to learn, the verbiage and all of that, the concepts that you're running on offense or defense. So it's not that easy. Special teams, you can do that with. You can plug a guy in, he can go down and do his job and help out, but not on offense or defense. So you're right. And I think that's exactly what they are doing. They're going to make do with the guys that are in the building first and foremost.
Right. And
whatever needs to be shuffled around, they will.
And just so you know, Gabe Davis got through the game no worse for wear this past Sunday, so he's not really an injury issue. I know he had been dealing with an ankle injury, but he played 88 snaps last week and is no worse for wear, as we understand it. So he should be good to go going forward. And then as far as your suggestion of Elijah Griffin, he is with the Giants right now. He was claimed by the Giants after he was cut here in final cuts. So he's not even available as an option. Though I agree with you, he would be cheap, but he's not available to be had. They're going to just dig deeper into their roster, and where they don't have numbers, even on their practice squad, they're probably going to look to add somebody, which is why Xavier Rhodes was here today on a free agent visit. Whether they sign him is another question. And they may have to sign a lineman too, Steve, because, yes, you got Bobby Hart back this week, but you're losing Tommy Doyle for the season.
Yeah.
So he's got to be replaced.
And there's nothing that says Van Roten's going to be ready to go or any of these other guys.
Yeah, so.
Or Mitch Morris, for that matter.
Right. So you're going to have to add to the offensive line ranks, presumably here, in the next day or so. So we'll have to see where that goes. Back to the phones, and we go to Will in Baltimore. What do you got for us, Will? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think that I think Mitch Morris is probably the second most important guy on the offense. So I think we really need him back. You can tell when he's not in the game, it's like a trickle-down effect. He's just so important to our running game. We get out of the huddle at 15 seconds when Morris is in the game. But when he's not, we get to the line 5 seconds. And the two worst plays that happened, well, not the two worst plays, but one of the strip sack, that was when the time was running down, and then another play with the Rook when he couldn't get in, when he couldn't get the block. So it was like when he's in the game, everything flows better, everything.
Yeah, it was interesting, Will, that I noticed last week they were breaking the huddle a lot later last week too. First 2 weeks, offense was breaking the huddle around 21, 22 seconds left on the play clock. Last week, it was more like 15, 14 seconds, sometimes 12 or 11. Now, to me, there's a part of me that wonders, was that on purpose, to give guys as much rest as possible in the huddle, in between plays, before getting up to the line of scrimmage, knowing how taxing the weather conditions were? Might have been a part of it. I'll try to remember to ask Coach about that when I get a chance.
Right. Yeah, and if you're talking about offense, you mean they've got Alec Anderson, the rookie out of UCLA, is on the practice squad. You could bring him up as an offensive line. You're talking about replacing these guys and having the offensive line take off like that. And we don't know yet. It's too early in the week. We're going to get an injury report tomorrow. So all these machinations that we're talking about happening, we don't even know if they need to yet.
Well, yeah, you're down Doyle.
Doyle
is down. That guy's got to be replaced.
And I would imagine.
And you're down Micah Hyde.
It's going to be Alec Anderson or Ryan Van Demark to be elevated. And now, theoretically, neither one of them is going to see the field because everybody else is going to be healthy, and it'll be Spencer Brown back on the field with
right.
Kessenberry backing him up. But we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Let's go back to the phones at 803-0550. Open line for you there. We go to Jack in Buffalo next. What do you got for us, Jack?
Yes, hi. I agree with the last caller that Mitch Morris is an important part of the most important player to get back in the lineup. But I do have a question about why didn't the Bills try Reed Ferguson, their long snapper, at the center position during that game?
Yeah, well, Steve, I'll let you take that one.
I'll tell you why. Reed Ferguson isn't physically up to it. I love Reed. He's a good dude, and I'm not insulting him in any way, shape, or form. I'm just telling you, Reed Ferguson.
What is he, 260?
He's not even near to. He's nowhere near 260. I'm looking this up now, and I'm having trouble doing it. Let's see. Here we go. Reed Ferguson is 6'2", 235. There's your answer.
Not an option.
He's not an option. They would take Reed Ferguson by both ends of his body and use him like a tent peg, and they would hammer him into the ground. He wouldn't last. I mean, I love Reed, but he's a long snapper, and that's different than being a center. Different skill set and a different job requirement. You don't line anybody up over the long snapper. It's illegal. You line somebody up over the center all the time, and it's a big, mean, nasty dude. Reed Ferguson, 6'2", 235. There you go. I mean,
that's your answer.
There's your answer. Reed is not a center. He's a long snapper. It's not the same thing.
Correct.
Reed's not even an offensive lineman. So there you go.
Let's take a look at some of the comments on the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. DJ on the tweet sheet says, Poyer to get some experience leadership in the secondary, and then I would pick Oliver or Phillips to eat up the middle of the line so Miller can feast on the outside. Go Bills. Yeah, I mean, these have been common responses. Jeremy says, Jordan Phillips, he is a presence we are missing dearly on that front line. I wish most of them would be back, but it's just not looking good. Janine says, definitely Jordan Poyer. I think the secondary has been the hardest hit with injuries. The man can ball out. Hopefully he's feeling better and can get back out there to be the leader we need. Dave says, stopping the run will be the most important part of the game Sunday, especially if the weather is going to be terrible from the hurricane. We need our big boys back. I want Oliver and Phillips. Keith says, considering what the offense looked like against Miami, it's got to be Mitch. Look, I don't think the offense looked bad. It was just in the red zone where they came up short, and in short yardage situations they struggled. Now, do I think Morse could make a difference? Yeah, absolutely.
Given their number
but
one
I don't
offensive
think the
line,
offense
be
was
better,
terrible yeah. last week.
In situational football, they were bad because that's the first – it's like – your golf game. The first thing you lose when you don't play for a while is your short game. The first thing you lose in when you got your offensive line out or guys starting to leave is situational football, is short yardage and goal line.
Yeah.
That's it. And, you know, maybe the long yardage if it's certain injuries. It's those situational plays where you've got specific things you've got to get done that cost you when you start losing players. And it's where you lose your edge when those guys have had reps together and there's certain things they got to do, and subtle things like feet, foot positioning, hand placement, body position, all of that stuff in conjunction with the guy next to you. It all makes a difference down in short yardage goal line, and these guys just don't have enough reps, particularly playing the positions they were stuck playing, the center, the right guard, and the right tackle. Kessenberry knew what he was doing, probably, but not with Tommy Doyle at guard.
Right.
And not with Greg Mantz at center.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you want to know why the offense sputtered and had trouble punching it in the end zone. You don't need to look any further than that.
Yeah.
Now, you can say what you want about Josh and one hop in that throw. Sure. Sure. But you had, like,
you had
a bunch of other chances than that. And,
yeah.
And one of the reasons you're throwing that play is because you can't do anything else. You got other options that are limited because of the guys up front. Yeah.
Break time for us here. Steve and I back to wrap things up on who we'd like to see back in the lineup soonest for this weekend's matchup with the Ravens. We're back in a second here on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. And we need Morse and Phillips back the most. We need someone to get heat on the quarterback with Miller, and we need Morse to help Allen. So it's kind of an astute observation. They feel that if you get one of those guys on the defensive interior, that the trickle-down effect will help Miller on the edge.
I think that the prevailing sentiment is, and I agree with it, is that if the offense gets healthy, they can score with anybody. I mean, they're going to be able to keep up on the scoreboard if the other team gets out. And our defense has the ability to make enough plays to make the difference in the end with the pass rush and with the run stop. I don't think – I like the answer with Mitch Morse, Spencer Brown. Bates would be nice to get back in there, but if you can get your offensive line back to healthy, this offense can score with anybody, even the Baltimore Ravens, who are hanging a lot of points on people. But defensively, with this team you're facing, they scare me. They do. Yeah. This team, the Baltimore Ravens, is the first team this year, maybe the Rams, that really kind of scares me. And they're good.
Right.
They're
good. I think an argument can be made for the secondary because they have been the hardest hit by injury. Hyde was down. Poyer's coming off an injury. Dane Jackson's coming off an injury. And you don't have Tre'Davious White back yet.
Right.
So I think you can make an argument. Nobody said Dane Jackson today. I was surprised. Not one person said Dane Jackson, a starting corner.
Almost Christian Benford I'd like to have back.
I realize people look at the Ravens and say, oh, they're a running team. They've been throwing the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, what are they? Are they the number one passing? Number three?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
The Bills
they're a little bit further down.
The Bills are number one passing. Josh leads the league in throwing, but
Baltimore's the number one scoring offense in the league.
They score, and that's a problem. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's it for Steve and I today. We'll catch you tomorrow here on One Bills Live at 1.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.